In the wake of leaks about the National Security Agency's massive surveillance program, many ask what legal steps are being taken to stem the pervasive breach of civil liberties. We'll talk with attorney Carl Massinio from the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund about their campaign, One Nation Under Surveillance. Years before 9/11, the partnership was engaged in litigation and advocacy about the ways in which the government and corporations spy on individuals. Carl Massinio, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Oh, thank you very much.
Many Americans are becoming aware, perhaps for the first time, of the extent of the surveillance state in the United States. The Partnership for Civil Justice Fund actually launched a campaign called One Nation Under Surveillance over a year ago. Tell us about that.
Well, our One Nation Under Surveillance campaign really is a composite of multiple programs that the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund has undertaken to challenge and to fight back against the surveillance state. The programs include public records demands, FOIA requests, lawsuits, litigation, as well as campaign and advocacy. And you're correct. We've been looking at the issue of anti-terror authorities and surveillance authorities being misused to target law-abiding people in the United States, and in particular those engaged in political activity, well before even 9/11 happened. And I think that's an important element to recognize, which is that these anti-terror and surveillance authorities, while they were pumped up dramatically after 9/11, were actually being utilized to disrupt, to monitor, to surveil peaceful political activists even before that catastrophic event occurred.
Now, Carl, most people aren't aware of that. To what extent were private corporations involved in this kind of monitoring?
The monitoring is done at the behest of private corporations, and that's revealed most clearly in the public records disclosures that we have secured as relate to the Occupy movement. The Occupy movement and the Occupy Wall Street movement, which targeted, of course, corporate authority and corporate power, those documents reveal that the corporations were working hand in glove with law enforcement to surveil, to anticipate, to counter, to disrupt the political messaging that this grassroots peaceful movement had. And this is a movement that came about because there, across the country, there is tremendous economic insecurity. People in the middle class are underwater. People are one paycheck away from not being able to meet their basic needs. And as a consequence of this grassroots movement, a democratic movement came into existence. And what was the government's response? Instead of saying, this is wonderful, this is what the First Amendment says should happen, it turned its law enforcement authorities against this movement. It infiltrated it. It did so working with the Wall Street corporations. In fact, in New York City, the Wall Street corporations sit in the command centers of law enforcement, so that they have absolute free access to the same flow of information that the command centers have.
How does this tie in with the recent revelations on the National Security Agency and their monitoring both every keystroke on our computers and what we say on the telephones, and not just foreigners, but Americans as well? Have you adjusted your appreciation of the extent of the emerging police state when you heard what Manning and Snowden had to say?
Yes, I think that what Manning and Snowden have revealed to us is really a clarion call to action. What we now see is that secretly and covertly there has been a systematic interception of all of our communications. And it's important to take a look at what is being intercepted. The NSA is clear. It does not intercept all of the communications and transmissions that occur electronically over the Internet, but what it does intercept comprehensively, Gmail communications, telephone logs of all of our communications. They have the ability with the touch of a keystroke and an email to be able to pull up a history of everyone, of whatever that email is associated with in terms of past email communications, chat histories, browsing histories. Now, who is that targeting? I mean, who is that targeting? It is targeting the law-abiding citizens and persons in the United States, because think about it for a second. What competent or sophisticated terrorist is going to be relying on Gmail or Google in order to conspire or plan? The undernet is not being captured. The undernet, the virtual private networks, the things that are very sophisticated and difficult to capture, are not the focus of this operation. The focus of the NSA's dragnet domestic spying operations is to include everything that we all engage in. And I think that it completely eliminates the concept of privacy. I mean, if they could go in and go into our personal therapists or counselors or priests or rabbis space and hear what we communicated in our most personal moments, we would be outraged. But that is what they are gathering, accumulating, warehousing, and putting into a record-keeping system so that at the touch of a button, they can pull it up on anyone. Now, the privacy implications are staggering. The implications on democracy also are quite shocking, because this has all been done secretly. It's been done with secret courts in the United States. The senators who had knowledge and information and who were critical of this program did not even possess a First Amendment right to stand on the floor of the U.S. Senate and condemn or criticize or bring focus and attention to these details by citing specifics, because they were under gag orders. And each of the presidents, the past presidents, have approved and expanded this excessive executive authority.